flicker.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome. Morning, everybody. My name is Arnab. I'm a program manager on the Office Trustworthy Computing team. And I'm going to be walking you guys through a very high-level overview of how the Office Bridge Client applications interact with servers like SharePoint, as well as arbitrary document management servers which support web authoring protocols, which allow Office applications to do read-write access of documents stored on these web servers. And so the way I'm going to structure this presentation is, I think I only have about 45 minutes, so it's going to be fairly high level. I'm going to do a little bit of introduction about just a high level overview of how the Office Rich clients figure out what kind of server it's talking to and what web authoring protocol to use. I'm going to go through one example of just opening a file. And I'm going to go through another example where we take a look at how a SharePoint specific feature like check-in, check-out is enabled in the Office Bridge Client applications. Like, for example, if another server wants to implement check-in, check-out, how do you get that functionality to light up in the Office Bridge Client applications, such as Word 2007, Word 2010, and so on. And the last thing I'm going to walk through is what happens if the web server that Office is talking to is gated by forms-based authentication. So we know this is a very popular way of implementing authentication on a web server, especially something that's extranet-facing or intranet-facing. And it's not a standard Windows integrated authentication scheme like NTLM or Kerberos. We've had a bunch of customers ask us about rich client integration with servers like this, so I think it's a good example to go through. So, yeah, this slide is just repeating what I just said. Talking about how do the rich clients actually open a document from a remote web doc management server, what about check-in, check-out, and forms-based auth or FBA. So going straight into file open, the Office Rich Client applications, like starting with Office 2003 onwards, are designed such that they are capable of opening documents from practically any web server that supports standard protocols. If the web server is just a public internet-facing server that doesn't allow read-write access but allows basic read-only file gets via the HTTP get method, well, Office can open a file from that particular server. If the server happens to be a SharePoint server that allows more complicated access patterns like read-write access and things like co-authoring, well, Office has the capability of figuring out that that specific document URL is capable of handling these protocols and can open the file in read-write mode. So at a very, very high level, when we open a file from a server, there are just two choices for us. Should we open the file with read-only permissions in browse mode, such that the file opens up with that read-only message in the title, and if the user makes a change and hits save, we should bring up the save as dialog? Or can we actually open the file directly from the web server location with write permissions in edit mode and allow the user to save changes back to the server? So how do we do this? In order to determine the correct action, what the client's always going to do is the first request it makes to the server is going to be an HTTP options request to the full URL of the document. Now, if the web server requires the user to be authenticated or the user's default logged on credentials don't work or are not released for this particular location because it's not on the intranet or it happens to be not in the user's trusted sites list, these are basic things that are sort of determined by the Windows OS network stacks, the server is most likely going to respond back with a 401 unauthenticated error, or if the server is gated by forms-based auth, it'll respond back with a 403 or a 302 redirect. And I'll go into the forms-based auth special case later. So the two options here are when the client makes the options request, it's either going to get back an HTTP 200 OK response with a bunch of headers, which I'll explain later, or it's going to get back a response from the server indicating that the user is not authenticated and the user needs to provide some credentials in order to access that particular server resource. So at this stage, I'm going to hand wave and say that if the user is unauthenticated and the server supports the standard Windows integrated authentication scheme, there are Windows OS APIs like CredUI prompt for Windows credentials that are all documented in MSDN. You can collect credentials and then set them appropriately on the next options request you make. If it happens to be a forms-based obligated server, that's going to come later. So if the user is authenticated, the server is going to respond back to the options request with either a 200 OK response or with a response that says it doesn't support the options request. If the server rejects the request and says it doesn't support the options request, then we have no knowledge of what kind of authoring protocols the server supports, which means we have to fall back to the lowest common denominator experience, which is we'll just try to do a vanilla HTTP GET of that web resource. The file is going to download, and it's going to download in read-only mode. We will not try to save changes back to the original URI, and if the user makes some changes and hits the save button, they'll get a file save as dialog. If the server responds back with a 200 OK response, we will then go ahead and examine the headers that are sent back in that 200 OK response. So the first header that we look for is this header that indicates that the server supports the MS-FSS HTTP protocol. This protocol is new for Office 2010 and SharePoint 2010 servers. The Windows Live SkyDrive server also supports the FSS HTTP protocol. The only rich client applications that support the protocol in Office 2010 are Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, and OneNote. In the case of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, we look at the headers returned by the server for the options request we've made. And if the header contains, if the x-ms-fss HTTP header is present, and the value is greater than or equal to 1.0, the Office Rich Client applications know that the server supports the FSS HTTP protocol. OneNote is a bit of a special case. It doesn't actually rely on the options response. It'll go ahead and optimistically try to make a SOAP request in the format specified by the MS-FSS HTTP protocol. And if the server responds back with an invalid response or rejects it, then they'll fall back to the WebDAV protocol. In the case of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, if this header is not present or the value is less than one, we will decide that the server doesn't support the MS-FSS HTTP protocol and we'll not try to use it. So if the server doesn't support the MS-FSS HTTP protocol, then we try to see what other protocols it does support. We look for this header called MS author via, and if it happens to be this MS-FP or 4.0, DAV, then it means the server not only supports the HTTP extensions for WebDAV protocol, but it also supports the front page server extensions remote protocol for authoring document content. If this particular header is present, then you have a somewhat complicated matrix of which Office rich clients try to use what protocol on what OS. If Office 2010 or 2007 are running on Vista or Win7, then those applications are going to use the HTTP extensions for WebDAV. If you're using Windows XP, but you happen to be using Word, Excel, or PowerPoint 2010, the clients will still use HTTP extensions for WebDAV as the protocol. If you're running on XP and you happen to be using any other Office 2010 client like Publisher or Visio or Infopath, then those clients will use the front page server extensions remote protocol. And Office 2007 on Windows XP happens to use the front page server extensions remote protocol all the time for all the applications. This information in detail is available in the MS-OC proto protocol document that is available on MSDN. And in fact, most of the content I'm presenting today is available in full detail in that document. That is a informative overview document that talks about how do various features light up in the Office Rich Client applications depending on what kind of server the clients are docking to, and what is the sort of method of deciding which protocol to use versus the other after the clients have examined these headers. So there is a third state of the MS author via header. If it doesn't say that it's MS-FP/4.0, DAV, it could just say that it's a DAV server. In this case, the server only supports the WebDAV protocol, and you know, we cannot use the front page server extensions protocol. I don't believe there are any servers that Microsoft ships which are in existence today which will respond back with just the MS author via header set to DAV. You might be able to configure SharePoint so it doesn't support the front page server extensions protocol, but we would discourage you from doing so because you know, it's going to mean that if you're running on Windows XP and you happen to have an Office 2007 client, since those clients don't speak the HTTP extensions for DAV protocol on that particular OS, they won't be able to contact that SharePoint server. If the author via header is not present and just a DAV header is present, you can imagine this is an Apache DAV server or some other third-party DAV server which just supports the DAV protocol. We look at the DAV header, and if the value of the DAV header is 1, it means that the file server doesn't support locks and doesn't recommend that the client takes locks. In this case, because you know you cannot take locks on the server file, it means that any changes that the user is making in the rich client, if they choose to save those changes back up to the web server, they could potentially be overriding newer data on the server and causing data loss. The Office Rich Client applications will open the document in read-only mode because that is the safest thing for us to do for the customer. The user will be able to save a copy of the file and create a new document backup on the server, but they won't be able to overwrite the file that's on the server. This is not a limitation of the protocol, but it's something that we believe makes sense from the end user's perspective. If the value is 1,2, it means that file locks are actually supported on the server, in which case the rich client applications will use the HTTP extensions for DAV protocol. They'll open the file in read-write mode, and you can actually save your changes back up to the server. If the server doesn't specify an authoring protocol, we fall back to HTTP GET. I think I've covered this, which means that the clients can only save a copy of the file. They can't save changes to the original document. One interesting thing here is any data that we receive by the HTTP GET request is considered file data unless the server says it's responsible and access denied or a 405 not supported. And the reason I want to sort of pause here and call this out a little bit is, again, going back to the fonts-based authentication example or issue, there are some cases we've seen in the wild where customers set up their server to require authentication via a cookie that you know that you can, and you can sign into the web server via a web page. So imagine a server that's set up such that it doesn't actually support the MS forms-based authentication protocol that the Office rich clients understand, but it's just using a simple HTML form on the web page and setting an authentication cookie in the web browser to allow the user to authenticate and access that site in IE or Firefox or any other web browser you have out there. In that case, if you go ahead and try to directly open a document in the Office Rich Client, there could be scenarios where the Office Rich Client doesn't have that authentication cookie set because you could be trying to directly open that file via the file open dialog without having gone through the website in the browser. The website could be setting session cookies, in which case the cookie would be not shared with the Office application process. Now, in that scenario, what you'll have is you will potentially be able to make an options request and get back a response, but the response from the server might be a 302 redirect to this HTML form, which happens to be just a web page, and it's not the document. If you follow the standard process used by the rich clients, the server hasn't responded back with an access denied response, that a standard 401 or 403 response that the clients understand. It hasn't responded back with the MS-OFBA challenge. It hasn't said that the request is 405 not supported. And therefore, the Office Rich Clients will believe that this HTML page that it's getting back from the server and the payload of the 200 OK response is the page that it should render in the app. So this is a classic example of a server that's set up in a way that will probably work very well for people who are just browsing that particular site through a web browser, but because of it's not supporting a standard authentication protocol or the MS-OFBA protocol, when you try to open a document directly in the rich clients, you end up with this HTML sign-in page being rendered in Word or PowerPoint. And we've seen a bunch of customers sort of file issues about this in the last year or so. And usually when we debug this, it turns out to be that if they had configured their server correctly to send back the appropriate headers and responses, the clients would have been able to open up the document just fine. Okay. Any questions before I move to checkout? So check-in, check-out is a feature that's available on SharePoint servers. I think it's been present on SharePoint since SharePoint 2003. This allows the customer to take a long-term, I'm going to use the word lock here, but it's not really the way it's implemented, but from a conceptual level, it's a long-term lock on a document on the server. If you check out a file on the server, it gives you a couple of things from an end user perspective. It means that nobody else apart from you can edit that file. It gives you the ability to check in minor versions of your documents. So if you want to have version history where you can track important milestones in the development of your document, you can. It gives you the ability to actually include some comments about a particular check-in. So you could say that I'm checking in this minor version, and here is a couple of lines of text explaining where my document is at this minor version. And I believe with SharePoint 2007, we also added the ability to check out a file to local disk, which meant that if you went ahead and checked out a file from the SharePoint web UI or from the Office Rich Client applications, it would actually create a copy, a local copy of that document under your SharePoint drafts folder in your My Documents folder on local disk. And that would mean you could go back to that document even when you were offline and disconnected and make changes to it. And whenever you came back online, you could go ahead and check in that file and update the server document. So it's a SharePoint feature that was that the SharePoint team came up with. But the way that the Office Rich Client applications have implemented support for it, it's not SharePoint specific, and it just requires the remote web server to support a specific set of protocols and respond back to the specific set of headers in order for this functionality to light up in the Rich Client applications. So just going by that, by default, check-in and check-out features are enabled in a protocol client only if the server response contains the correct header and the header value. And the server must support the front page server extensions website management protocol as defined in that MC-FPSC-WM protocol document. So if your server supports that, it might not be SharePoint, but we can certainly support a SharePoint feature like check-in, check-out in the Office Rich clients. So again, this is a table that's directly out of the MS-OC proto document. And so it's kind of complicated because the various versions of the Office Rich Client applications have supported various protocols. But if you want to go back and refer to it, it's there in the documentation. And essentially, it defines a very similar process to the file open process, which is when we've made the options request, the server can send back a set of headers in response to the options request. One of the headers could be the document management server response. And if it, for example, exists with the value source control, the Office 2007 system of applications will light up the check-in, check-out feature in the backstage. If the Microsoft SharePoint Team Services options header just exists, then Office 2007 and Office 2010 will light up check-in, check-out in the backstage and allow the user to check-in and check-out a file. It doesn't matter if the document management server options header is present or not. So the way to read this is basically that the document management server options header was something that we shipped, I think, with SharePoint 2003. And so if the client application needs to work well with SharePoint 2003, it needs to sort of still understand the fact that the server might send back a document management server options header with this value source control. If you want to flip it around, if your client only needs to support SharePoint 2007 and onwards, then the only header you care about is the Microsoft SharePoint Team Services options header. So the next thing is just supporting the the front page server extensions protocol and sending back the correct header responses is not the only requirement for check-in checkout. In order to check in and check out a document, the user needs to have edit permissions on the URL. Because the fundamental reason why you would want to check out a file is to make edit changes to the particular URL. And so if the user doesn't have permissions on the server to actually make edit changes to that particular document, well, check-in and check-out is not going to work. And the permissions on the server are examined by using the front page server extensions website management protocol. Again, this flowchart is directly out of the MS-OC proto document. And the flow is very similar, which is the client's going to make an HTTP options request to the server. It is the same options request the client makes when it is trying to open the file. So you could consider that to be the bottleneck, which lets us query the server for all the features that are enabled by it. The server could respond back with the fact that it supports the DAV protocol and that it supports check-in, check-out. We'll analyze the response from the server. We'll figure out if the server supports FSS HTTP, the front page server extensions protocol, or RepDAV. If it does, then we'll see if the SharePoint team services header exists or not. If it does, then we'll enable the check-in checkout header. If it doesn't, we'll try to see if the document management server header exists or not. If it does, we'll enable the check-in checkout feature. If these two headers don't exist, we'll disable check-in checkout. And of course, if the server doesn't support read-write access via one of the authoring protocols we are aware of, then it's just a straight no and the file gets opened in read-only mode. So I think the overarching theme over here is that in order for rich client integration to work correctly with a SharePoint server or a different document management server that wants to enable read-write access or wants to enable similar SharePoint features, the most important first step is to ensure that the response to that HTTP options request is correct and has the headers that the Office rich clients are looking for. And the second thing that I want to highlight is the authentication piece, which is if the server supports Windows integrated auth, then it's usually relatively straightforward. It's a 401 response with the right headers. If it doesn't support Windows integrated auth, then you get into some interesting cases where you need to support cookie-based auth or forms-based authentication, and I'm going to talk about that next. This sort of talks about the end-user faced flow of how check-in checkout works. I think this is relatively straightforward. There are a bunch of UI entry points to enable the check-in checkout feature. If you're using Word 2010 or PowerPoint 2010, and the document happens to reside on a document management server that has sent back that SharePoint team services header, there's a backstage slab called versions, and there's a hero button drop-down option that lets you go ahead and check out the file. There's similar UI in the SharePoint web UI itself. And I think this is relatively straightforward. Let me know if you guys have questions about this. This is just an end-user facing description of how check-in checkout works. So sort of moving on to FBA or forms-based auth. I'm going to walk through an example of how Word 2007 or Word 2010 opens a document from a SharePoint server that's gated by forms-based auth. The one correction I'd like to make over here is Word 2007 RTM actually doesn't support the MS-OFPA forms-based auth protocol. It's something we added as part of Word 2007 SP2. So it's a Service Pack 2 feature. But Word 2010 and the Office 2010 rich client applications do support FBA by default at RTM. There's a swim lane diagram sort of going over a very high-level explanation of how FBA works between the client and the server. This is making it seem a lot more complex than it actually is. So let me see if I can make it a little bit simpler. Again, the process of accessing the server is very, very similar to the file open explanation. We are going to make an HTTP options request to the particular URL endpoint. And The interesting thing is if that particular URL happens to be gated by an HTML form and it requires a cookie for authentication, the server needs to respond back with a header that will tell the client that the user is not authenticated and that the client application should bring up a web browser window in order to collect the user's credentials. The reason why we need to bring up a web browser window is because we need a cookie that we can use for authentication, and Office isn't by design capable of, you know, rendering HTML and following JavaScript redirects and all the various things that a web browser can. The second thing is a lot of companies implement an HTML form for authentication not because they just want to collect usernames and passwords, but because they want to collect credentials in a way that is not currently supported by standard Windows integrated authentication protocols like NTLM or Kerberos. Like we'll see customer requests where they will want to have an HTML form that includes a username, a password, and something like an RSA secure ID, a 10-digit number that changes based on a key fob that you might have. And so because of these requirements, it doesn't make sense for us to have built-in credential UI that's just a dialogue that has a username and password, because customers' needs are going to change over time. We know already that they have these cases where they want the user to end up entering something that's not a username and password. You could have situations like banking sites that have a site key where they want the customer to see an image or something and recognize that, hey, this is an image that I've seen in the past and this site is not a phishing attack. So just going back to the flow, once the client has made an options request to the server, sorry. Yes, so the question was, have we considered allowing the rich clients to actually provide a pop-up when they are trying to access a remote server document instead of actually navigating to the web browser? Is that correct? That's a great question. Actually, the way that FormSpace, repeat question. have we considered allowing vendors to create that pop-up which would collect credentials instead of having the rich clients redirect the web browser? That's a great question, because actually the way that it works is when the rich client applications receive the forms-based authentication error response from the server indicating that the user is not authenticated, they bring up a pop-up within the process of the rich client. So within Word, you'll see a little dialog come up that is an HTML trident window that will direct the user to the website URL on the server, which will allow the user to authenticate against the server, which means that the vendor who owns that particular site has full control over the HTML that's rendered within that particular window. And that window is parented to the Word application. So it's not like we are going to end up redirecting the customer to a different process which has no sort of relationship with Word. It pops up right under the Word window and is parented to it. And the interesting thing about the OFDA protocol is it's actually very, very straightforward, which is what the server needs to do is it needs to provide a start URL, as in a URL where the user has to enter credentials or, you know, solve a puzzle or select a site key, choose your favorite thing, and it specifies an end URL, which means once the customer has gone through and successfully authenticated, what is the URL where they will end up at? As long as those two URLs are provided, you could potentially take the customer through a bunch of redirects and leave them in that web page for as long as a time period as you want. It's obviously not desirable for it to be too long, but you can make that authentication process as complex as required by the vendor scenario, the end-user scenario. And then at the end of the process, we'll just stare down the window and we know that we have navigated to the right end URL, and the cookies set in the IE Trident window as part of the process will get picked up by Word, because that particular IE Trident window is parented to the Word process, and Word will then use those authentication cookies to go ahead and access the resource. The protocol also allows the remote server to specify the size of the window. This is something that has come up a bunch, again, in our customer engagements over the last year, year and a half. It's undesirable for the window to be full screen because that might kind of confuse the user. But if, for example, if your sign-in page is a little wider than the default 640 by 480 or whatever we've got set in the rich clients, the server has full control over how you want to size it. So the sign-in form appears in the middle and is centered and is something that the customer can actually navigate through. So just going back here to, where was that diagram? There you go. Going back here to this diagram, we make that HTTP options request. The server will send back a response to the options request, which is either a 403 or a 302 redirect. If it's a 403 redirect, there's a specification called MSOFBA, which documents exactly what the redirect should be and what the header value should be. But the values will indicate the login URL or the original URL that IE window should navigate to. The client's going to bring up that IE window parented to the Word or Excel or PowerPoint process and request HTML from that URL. Again, this is more complex than it actually is because what we're doing is, as Word, we are just bringing up that IE window and we are telling IE to navigate itself to that particular URL. There is no actual code in Word that's trying to go ahead and render HTML or follow that particular request. Within that IE window, the server can choose to return HTML. The user could post the results of their HTML form. The server can set a cookie and return a return response redirecting the original URL. If the header indicates that the original URL is the end URL, then Office is going to end up there looking for a navigate event to that particular end URL. It's going to finalize the connection, tear down the IE window, set the cookie, and reissue the options request with the cookies, thereby sort of tail merging into the file open process we've walked through early on as the first example. Does that make sense? Are there any more questions about that? So the way the rich client applications actually open and save documents from web servers are, repeat question. Yes. In the last step where we're reissuing the options request with the cookies, the question was, is that request a vanilla HTTP request? Yes, it is a vanilla HTTP request because the options request is just an HTTP verb. The way the rich client applications work is they will make vanilla HTTP requests over the HTTP protocol in order to figure out the capabilities of the web server, and then only fall over to using custom protocols like FSS HTTP or HTTP extensions for WebDAV for the final document download or document upload process. And the interesting thing there is even those two protocols are just extensions on HTTP. So just like you could set headers on a vanilla HTTP request, you can still set headers containing a cookie on WebDAV request or on FSS HTTP requests. So the way it works is, the question was, the authentication cookies are being set in a web browser, which should theoretically be a different process. In the case of NTLM, Windows will authenticate only a specific process to a given server when the user provides credentials via NTLM. How does the forms-based authentication process work correctly in the Office Rich Client applications if we are collecting cookies through a web browser, but the file download process actually happens in Word? Is that correct? The way that it works is we are not bringing up a separate IE process over here. There's actually a Windows OS component that's present, which is essentially IE's web browsing and rendering engine. It's called Trident. And it's possible for an application process to bring up that web browsing and rendering engine as part of its own process. So the cookie collection process is not out of proc with Word. It is actually in proc with Word. We're just using a Windows OS component to bring up that window, and we're getting away from the burden of having to write web browser code, because that's provided by the OS. So the cookies are getting set as part of the Word process, so any other Windows OS network call made through WinINet or WinHTTP can pick up those cookies. I think this is just repeating what we've already talked about. As I said, that once the cookie gets set and we can actually make the options request without getting back an unauthenticated response from the server, this just tail merges into the file open process we walked through earlier on. The server's going to respond to the options request. It can either say that it supports WebDAV or if it says HTTP or both. And then from this point onwards, the document is open in the Office RichCon applications, just as if the server was gated by NTLM or GURB. Because the cookies are set, because we're using HTTP or extensions on HTTP, we will set the cookies on the header for all subsequent calls. And then the file download, file edit process is going to work pretty much in exactly the same way. And that's it, actually. So the question is, there have been some comments in the past about SharePoint moving away from the front page server extensions protocol. Are we deprecating it? Are we moving to something else? So the response to that is, there are kind of two ways by which the front page server extension protocols are used or were used. There's one use case where the front page server extension protocol is actually used for file download and file upload. Starting with Office 2007 on Windows Vista and above, none of the Office RichCon applications actually use the front page server extension protocols for file download or upload. I think there may be some cases where InfoPath or some of the non-authoring applications fall back to front page server extensions for file upload or download, but generally, with the Office 2007 wave, and then even more so with Office 2010 wave, we are moving away from using that protocol for downloads and uploads. It doesn't mean that the SharePoint server is deprecating support for them for file download and upload, because we still want to support Office 2003 and Office 2007 on Windows XP and customers who have valid reasons for remaining on those client configs. The second thing is, the front page server extensions protocols have extensions which enable features like check-in, check-out, and other functionality that has been built on the SharePoint platform over a number of years. Again, there are good reasons for us to move away to something that's a little bit more SOAP driven, but it takes us a while to go ahead and come up with new implementations for this. So that's the reason why check-in, check-out, for example, is a feature that continues to use the front page server extensions, the FPSC WM protocol. It's something we'll likely go ahead and augment in the future to work with a better, easier to sort of read over the wire, easier to support, easier to document protocol. But it's just something we haven't gotten to as yet. Correct. Yeah.
Case of check-in and check-out using the front page server extensions be replaced by
So there are no plans for replacing it. There are no plans for deprecating it because we still have valid cases, as I said, where we want to support our in-market products like Office 2007 and XP and Office 2003. So, yeah. So the question is, what is the roadmap for which protocol the clients are going to use for file transfer going forward? Do you want to?
I mean, we can break this into two things, right? We've got legacy support and then future functionality moving forward. And the obviously, we're committed to the legacy clients interacting with new modern servers. In terms of where we innovate in new features, those will not be in the FPSE protocol space. They'll be in our new protocol set. And so you can imagine new features that when we need to implement them, they'll be in that newer protocol space. And you can imagine that as we augment and improve existing features, we may move them into that new protocol space as well. But our newer protocol suite, because then you can take advantage of. Sorry, the question was going forward, which protocol should I use? And the answer is that it's a little complicated because if I want to support legacy servers, say you're supporting SharePoint 2003, you'd have a specific set of protocols you could only use. But if you're just targeting the most recent server release, then by using the current protocols, you'll get the full feature set. And you'll be able. But the main one is the MSFSS HTTP one. A good example there is that by leveraging that, you can then get some of the multi-user co-authoring functionality. Whereas if you constrain yourself to the FPSE stuff, you'll have to go with the more traditional approach. So it depends a lot on your needs. But we would encourage you to use the one that's going to give you the functionality you need.
I think the one caveat is. Even if you want to interop only with the latest SharePoint servers, there are some SharePoint-specific functionality, such as check-in, check-out, and maybe version history, which haven't yet moved on to the brand new FSS HTTP-based protocol set. So we've moved and we've augmented the capabilities of the server to support FSS HTTP for file download and upload, but As yet, we haven't been able to move some of the other features which are outside the scope of file download and upload but are still supported by SharePoint, like check-in, check-out, to that new protocol set. So as Simon says, I mean, it's very dependent on the feature set you would like to support. Like if you care a lot about your client supporting co-authoring and supporting that against the SharePoint 2010 and latest wave of servers, but you don't care quite so much about check-in, check-out, the only thing you probably need to care about is supporting FSS HTTP. Yeah. So WebDAV in the past, sorry, the question was, we haven't talked a lot about WebDAV. What are we doing with WebDAV? Are we moving away from it? What is the future direction? A very similar response over there. I think it's a slightly cleaner story for WebDAV because in the past, WebDAV was only used to download and upload files. It wasn't actually used for other SharePoint-specific functionalities such as check-in and check-out. In Office 2010, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote will not use WebDAV for file download and upload when working against a SharePoint 2010 server. In future client versions of Office, fewer and fewer rich client applications will use the WebDAV protocol for actual file downloads and uploads. The reason being that our newer FSS HTTP protocol, A, provides the benefit of the co-authoring end-user experience, and B, it's also incremental over the wire, saving customers bandwidth, and so on and so forth.
I'd just like to augment that a little bit. So WebDAV is a little bit special for us because at the end of the day, if you have a scenario where you just want a full file to consume and do something with, it's a lot simpler for that process. And so it might be the better choice, again, depending on your scenarios. And I've said if you're looking to leverage the multi-user, the incremental file I/O stuff, then you certainly want to push in the other direction. But if your scenario is sort of read a file, look at the whole file, process it, and then push it back to the server, WebDAV is a very, very applicable choice.
And the other thing that the WebDAV protocol does support, which FSSHTTP currently doesn't, is traversing a folder structure or browsing the entire contents of your web server. So, for example, the Windows common file dialogs, the file open and save dialogs provided by the Windows OS, have the capability of browsing a WebDAV server. That functionality to be able to actually create and render a browse control, which gives you a list of all the files and folders that are present on that remote location, doesn't exist in the FSSHTTP protocol today. Correct. And the reason you can do that is because Windows supports the WebDAV protocol and the SharePoint server supports the WebDAV protocol and allows you to go ahead and that will not go away. Yeah, absolutely. So there are no plans on SharePoint to remove DAV functionality for that reason in the near term. And again, if that happens to be one of your important end user scenarios that you want to implement in your client, well, then your client needs to implement the WebDAV protocol. Okay. That's it then.